Welcome to Revere Assets, Your Money, with Danny Stewart.
You never know how far the stock is going to go down.
Tim Razor.
Danny knows I'm a geek for all of this stuff.
And Don Vandenborg.
Telling it like it is.
If you're seeking the best stock knowledge this side of Wall Street, you've come to the right place.
I'm sorry, did I steal your stuff?
No, you didn't steal any thunder. Who's handling this segment?
For the next hour, Danny, Tim, and Don will be talking investing.
Investing is 90% psychological, and I love that.
Trades.
The market will usually overshoot to the downside and to the upside.
And dumpster fires.
Because it doesn't matter what you think or what I think, and it matters even less what Danny thinks.
And now, here's your hosts, Danny, Tim, and Don.
Talking about Halloween here, Stock Nerds Market Lovers, before the show with Danny, just for a quick second, because we our producer, Kenny, has a son or a daughter, and we're trying to remember which it is. And I said it's a daughter because I've made this mistake before, and Kenny has corrected me nicely, by the way. He's a really nice fellow. And he says, hey, man, I have a daughter. But then Danny goes, are you sure it's a daughter? So now I've got self-doubt. And so
my job is done here.
And so what I want to do is publicly apologize because Kenny, what I like to do now is just produce the show on the air. So at the beginning of the show, Kenny, what I did was I was playing. There's a show within a show, folks, that goes on before you ever join us. And so I typically play songs with where I kind of think the market is and what's going on with it. So I was I did a little Dave Matthews with Ants Marching. Yeah, I did a little Stressed Out by 21 Pilots, and I did a little Rule the World. Everyone Wants to Rule the World. I did the remake, not the Tears for Fears. I did the Weezer version. And so it's interesting as I'm joining you and I'm talking to you on right before the weekend kicks off here for the last to start to really start the last week of October 2019. Markets are just, they just drifted back up to close to new highs, and really there's really no volume behind it, and I don't know what to make of that per se. I think nimbleness is your friend here. I think if you're looking for the impetus as to what drives markets to infinity and beyond, I don't think the China news is it. Okay. No, probably not. We're going to, I mean, how many times do you have to, I mean, it's like high school here. And I'm, just stick with me here, Stock Nerds and Market Lovers. How many times do you have to be disappointed by your boyfriend or girlfriend?
Right.
You know, how many times do you have to be a no-show on prom to get the message? They ain't buying. You know, like how many times are they going to march out Mnuchin or trade? Well, the trade representative isn't so bad. He seems to be more of a straight shooter than the Mnuchin. But how many times are you going to march out? Things are progressing. We're finalizing deals. And then you're going to hear something in about 7 days that says, says something. And so instead of paying attention to that, what I really think you want to pay attention to this coming week is Apple earnings. And so you've got these Apple earnings coming up. And that's been, you know, Apple and the chips have been the glue holding this market together right now. And a lot has, I mean, what a tremendous run Apple's been on. And so if you don't get, you got to live up to those expectations now. And so, look, I'm not calling for death and destruction here by any stretch of the imagination. But what I do want to point out is that you want to be a real realist about the chop that we're in. And so I've got a lot to cover with you, Stock Nerds. I want to talk about, Danny, I just don't know where to start. And I really didn't think I was going to get into material, you know, like market material. I don't like to just give them, I don't like to just start out with.
You just want to throw them the red meat right away?
Yeah, I don't, because big I like, steak. Look, Stock Nerds, this is a date you and I are on. I like to, you know.
Wine and dine you. And
yeah, I mean, I don't even need dinner. I'm on keto. So I just need. I just need to feel loved, you know, like I want you to do that. Like I you know, like I want to make fun of Tesla shorts here. Like there's things I want to get to. Like I think the people that have made their whole career, you know, or their whole Twitter persona around shorting one stock. And then what they do is the zero hedges of the world, if you get my drift. And what they do is they suck you into that mindset. And before you know it, you're blown out. And what Tesla has done this week is just blown a bunch of people out. And so what I want to use Tesla as an example of, it's a market and anything can happen. And so oftentimes you don't believe that statement, that it's a market and anything can happen. And you're so sure of the way the market's going to go. And I want you to very much leave the door open that what you're thinking is going to happen in the market may not. And so I think you, and some of you are going, well, what the hell are you telling me this for, Tim? I already do that. Really? Are you sure? Are you sure you're not so dominate, your thoughts aren't dominated by your preconceived notions of what should happen, and then when it doesn't, you double down? I mean, are we going to be honest with each other here? I mean, yeah, and let's take recent examples. And by the way, patience is the game that kills you here, right? And so how many people got antsy in September that we're missing it? It's going on higher without us and we're not participating. I'm not participating. I got to buy stocks here. Oh my gosh. And then in like 3 or 4 days, it gave it all. The market gave back all of the third quarter gains. And if you don't know what the game is right now, stock nerds, this is a piddle your chips away market at the moment. And what it's doing is you're getting sucked into some things. They look so promising. This is the relationship. Mom and dad, I know she's the one. We're going to get married. And then she doesn't show up, you know, for the next date. And so before you know it, you sell in the hole, quote unquote. And then, oh, by the way, she's back. She's back. She just, her phone was turned off every time I text. Her voicemail wasn't working. And you're just on this roller coaster and you're just trying to find something that works. And before you know it, Bob's your uncle. You've pissed away all your chips and you're frustrated and you're not ready for what, Daniel? The real move that's coming. The real move in the market has not yet come. And if you're like, Tim, oh, you know, these little micro moves, well, micro moves. What am I, an arugula salad? No, I'm not with microgreens. It's a microgreens reference there, Daniel. Look, since September 1st of 2018, the SPX is only up 4.2%. The NASDAQ is up about 5%. The Dow is only up 3.4%. And the Russell's down 10%. So
a little dichotomy there.
Over the last 13 months, this market has done nothing. I mean, it really hasn't. And so what happens is you start chasing. Well, my strategy's off. Strategy evolves. It doesn't just take a note, unless you're YOLO, Daniel. YOLO is you only live once. And have you ever seen on the Reddit or the Twitter, and who knows if they're real or not, the people placing all their money in one trade and going, YOLO! And then they either hit it big or they don't hit it, you know, which, by the way, is not a strategy. That's the strategy that fails you.
It's like Bitcoin or...
Or roulette.
Pot stock or, yeah, 38 or, red.
Yeah, or the 38 red trade. And so...
3D printers.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And so what I think you wanna just kind of focus in on here is that you have to recognize the market you're in. But your patience doesn't allow you to do... We're not wired for trading. Now, some of you that are, most people that listen to us, I'm saying most, they have a passive and an active side to them. And most of our, and which kind of mirrors, it's interesting, not all of our clients listen to the show. We have a tremendous audience that does not do business with us that listens to the show. Mm-hmm. But I have a feeling based on the emails and interactions that they mirror what our clients are. Our clients, a lot of them are watching the markets or they're participating in the markets with maybe a taxable account. And then we are doing different strategies for them. The five strategies that you can find at revereasset.com at the bottom of the homepage. You just click on the buttons if you want to see like blue chip income or robotection, the only robo advisor model with a sell discipline in the free world in China. And so it's interesting that our clients, they're doing maybe something small on the outside. I call it on the outside with their taxable account, but the big money that they can't afford to lose, that's the one that we have. And it's interesting because I think it makes them better clients because they understand the market they're in, but it also makes for impatience as well. And so they know this. It's a piddle your chips away market for the most part. But what some of you, and I'm only talking to a minority, which sounds ridiculous. Tim, you're doing a podcast. Shouldn't you be talking to the majority? No, 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 because I have empathy for the group that I'm about to speak to. And I want you, stock nerds and market lovers, to have empathy for this group as well. By the way, can I pause for a minute? Don't let me lose my place, Daniel. Can I pause and tell you?
I don't know where you were.
That, speaking of the minority, there is one person in the free world, in China, who hates the phrase stock nerds. And God bless you. And God bless you. Because what you don't realize is that stock nerds isn't an insult, no matter how. I mean, if you're looking for something to be insulted, I've got worse words than stock nerd. Just hit me up. But what I will tell you is that stock nerds is an encompassing community. You're missing out, my friend, on the community aspect that are stock nerds and market lovers. Do you realize out of the population, the global population that does not include China, because they are not free, that the global population that can get a hold of me without having to use WeChat, which is Chinese, that active investors are such a small portion of the investment community. And that when we find each other and we're actually not jerks to each other, because that's what the investment community is, right? Like if you go to the Raymond James or the Edward Jones, or you go to pegratiohouse.com. Yeah, oh my God, it's on the highest horse you can find. The one that when you want to climb onto it, you need a freaking stool to get there. And they're talking about their peg ratios. And they're talking about all this stuff. You know what? Blank they're talking about, because they're purposely talking over your head. And they're like, yeah, hey, Judy, remember that stock we bought that went down 50%? Here's the thing. I doubled down on it. We have a tremendous loss, but we're going to ride this 3D printer thing out, potstocks.com. And that's what they do to you. And they tell you about all the ratios that don't give it. They don't matter. But stock nerds, market lovers, our community right here, It's such a place of love and warmth. Like, it's compassion, it's empathy, it's understanding that, yeah, you sell when it goes against you to limit your losses and you let your winners run. And that's how you really, that's real investing. And talking about that out in the open is, it's blasphemy on TV or in new, heaven forbid, a newsletter say they sold something for a loss, right, Daniel? And so when we say stock nerds and market lovers, I've got this vision in my mind where it's nothing but good coffee, not bad coffee. It's nothing but a land of great coffee, and every donut is keto based, and you can eat as many as you want, and there's nothing called high cholesterol that'll bog you down, and it's always fall, you know, and it's never 100 degrees, and the leaves are always turning, and that smell is in the meadows, and let me that makes Pennsylvania wonderful, Daniel, and. And so,
speaking of which, no, I'll get back to that.
And so, if you're offended by the word stock nerds, you, my friend, must have such a brilliant life going on. Because if that's the only thing that you can write to me about and be offended by, God bless you, sir. You, my friend, are living life. Celebrate it. Now, where was I?
Before you go on,
no.
I want to know what a keto donut is.
Oh, a keto donut is...
what is that made out of?
Oh, it's got... I've had one now.
Is that like ground up chicken?
No. Although the pizza crust...
that's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Different but good.
The keto donut is... you're talking almond flour.
Almond flour. That's interesting because I love almonds.
Yeah, you're talking almond flour. You're talking maybe a monk fruit sugar substitute. Or maybe a stevia type sugar substitute. Yeah.
Fruit.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And so, yeah.
Do you make those?
No. We bought some out by our house. Tiny.
And they're pretty good.
Yeah, they're
different.
Yeah, they're different. Donuts are fine. I tell you what, I don't really miss donuts per se, but having the keto donut was fine. I feel so good right now. Like, I've lost about 50 pounds, Stockners, this year. And it's been, and the difference is, I'll talk about this for a second. You didn't let me lose my place, did you?
No, I wrote it down.
Oh, thank God.
It was something about minority.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. No, I was talking about the stock nerds. You wrote minority down a complete...
Well, you were talking about the group and the minority and all that. All right, stock nerds. Well, you already did the stock nerds thing.
I did the stock nerds thing. Yeah. It's the minority of, active investors.
Yes.
Oh, yes, that's who we are. Oh, I wanted to... Danny, where I'm going with that is return of your capital. That's where I'm going. But back to the weight loss here, stock nerds. And so I feel so much better. And I'm running again, and I don't really hurt. Well, Jim, that's because you're 50 pounds lighter and you do force times acceleration. I got it, physics guy. I know why I don't hurt anymore.
Physics guy.
Thank you.
physics guy.
Yeah, the bottom line is I don't hurt. But the difference between like, well, Jim, you're just doing a diet. No. This to me has been like a big lifestyle switch. And they say, I read it somewhere and I would love to give attribution where I could. I just don't know who said it. You don't lose weight or get healthy because of what you're eating. It's what you're not eating.
Right.
Yeah, and so I find that to be very true.
Which is one of my problems.
Yeah, and so I don't miss the refined sugars. Like I don't miss any of it.
But you got to make a little effort to kind of change that thinking because there's so many things with refined products in them.
Yeah, and I took it a couple steps further, whereas like I gave up all. If you need a solvent, and I'm not being facetious when I say this, if you need a solvent to get the oil out of something, I don't eat it. So I've given up sunflower oil. I've given up any of the seed oils. I've given those up. So I'll only do typically now. Look, it's really hard to go out and you, I mean,
so that's beyond keto right there.
I don't know if it's beyond
like
keto.
Beyond meat, beyond keto.
It's beyond keto a little bit where like I'm only trying to ingest like avocado oil or coconut oil or grass fed butters, stuff like that. I'm really, I even gave up, what are the sweeteners in Diet Coke? Whatever those.
Saccharin and the.
Is saccharin the brand name?
Was the original. Well, no, saccharin Nutri- is the oh. blue. Is the blue.
Yeah.
And then they came out with whatever, NutraSweet or whatever, sucralose.
Whatever those are, they're not. I don't ingest those. And as a matter of fact, I don't think I've had a diet soda since January, like beginning of January.
Stevia is the new one that's made out of the plant.
I'll do stevia. And I'm not. It's interesting because like I don't miss any of it. Like I don't miss junk food. Like I used to love combos, Doritos, and I got to tell you, like there's not a day that goes by where I go, God, I'd really like one of those. And the truth of the matter is, I don't. Like I just don't.
So are you planning on staying keto, or can you kind of transition back where you do kind of partial both?
This is where I was going. And I have done a diet before, and it was MetaFast,
right.
And so any MetaFast, Nutrisystem, whatever it is that you're on, I think the problem for me, and maybe someone, I'm talking about this, Dr. Nurse, because when I've talked about it in the past, I have gotten emails and tweets and stuff. I know you can relate out there based on the feedback I'm getting, that some of you are going through the same thing. So if I can help, this is a really good service to listen to here. And so the problem with those diets for me was like, when do you stop? Like, what do you transition to, right? And for the first time in my 43 years on this earth, I have felt like this way of living for me is actually working. I've been doing this now for 10 months, and I'm not mentally tired by it. Right. Like I don't go out and go, oh boy, I didn't go to Olive Garden. Like it's no shame for me to not eat at the Olive Garden. Do you know what I mean? Like, or don't you miss pasta? Well, look, if I go back to Italy with Tanya, which I'm planning to do, I'll go have some pasta. Right. Like it's fine. I just know that like right now, I don't even drink. Like I wasn't a huge partaker in alcohol before.
Yeah, you never.
It wasn't, you know, like some people have the switch for risk. They get the dopamine from risk in the markets. Right. They get the dopamine from maybe sports. They get the dopamine from alcohol. Like it's chemistry. It's science in there that causes all this. And so that wasn't really part of my genetic makeup before alcohol. Although I did love, you know, like the pumpkin beer. Like man, fall comes around and I'm all about whatever pumpkin you're putting into whatever. If you're pumping pumpkin into something, I'm ingesting it, and I haven't.
You like pumpkin cheesecake?
Yeah, and so I haven't even missed any of that. And as a matter of fact, there's a keto cheesecake recipe that my wife has made, and we just had it again for my wife's birthday in October, in the beginning of the month. And I don't even like it's got a sweetener in it that doesn't agree with me. I don't even know what it is, but it's not synthetic. It's a natural sweetener. But when I eat it and I ingest it, I can feel it. And so, like, I don't miss alcohol. Like, I don't want to feel like there's no alcohol, and I know the clear ones are keto approved, like vodka is keto approved, I believe, and gin, I believe, is keto approved. I'm just not even interested. Mm-hmm. Like I'm operating at such a high level right now. I feel like mentally that I'm not.
Well, you've inspired Don some too, because he's lost like 30 pounds, yeah, 35 pounds.
Like I feel so good at this level right now. It's whatever it is, isn't worth it. And the things that would get me, like you get hungry and then I would eat, you know, oh, Remy, you've got snacks in the car. Like there's just a tremendous amount of snacks sitting in the car. You know, Chris the Remster,
right.
He loves his little snacks. And I'm not even tempted by those. And so I'm telling you, it's got to be a brain chemical thing, is what I'm thinking here. That whatever switch I shut off back at the beginning of the year, it whatever I stopped ingesting, has done something chemically to my brain that makes me not want other things. Mm-hmm. I find all of that fascinating. And so if you, my friends, can hear my voice, and if you have struggled with your weight, or like as you hit 40 and you gotten sedentary more and you're not feeling like yourself, I'll tell you, there's a book out there I think that'll change your life. It's called The Bulletproof Diet. Okay. For those of you that are cynical and say it's hokum, God bless. I have empathy for you. I understand. You've probably been through a number of quote unquote life-changing diets in the past, and maybe they have failed you. I'm telling you, something took place here that that has really changed my life. And I got to tell you something else too, Stock Nerds, that's interesting. And someone's going to throw cold water on it. I stopped eating breakfast. And that to me is fascinating. Like, you know, like I'm pretty sure the breakfast industry is the one that started with breakfast as the most important meal of the day. Like, I really believe that. You know what I mean? I'm quite sure someone will send me a study that I'm not aware of that says, oh, yeah, it's actually true, Tim. In the 1950s, Kellogg's came out with breakfast is the most important meal of the day, whereas people didn't give a rat's behind about cornflakes before. But when they heard that some study said breakfast is the most important part of the meal of the day, you know, there was wheat-filled cereal and milk, you know, things that are anti-keto.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
Well, you know the old saying, you eat breakfast like a king, lunch like a merchant, and dinner like a pauper. So it's been around for, that idea has been around.
Oh, okay.
For,
well, that's
a couple hundred years.
Well, I've been eating, I guess the new trend thing is called intermittent fasting.
Yes.
I purposely don't eat till noon.
2-5 diet or 5-2 diet.
Whatever, yeah. I just don't eat till noon or one. And then, I don't miss anything. Like, look, I've done it all too. Like I've been traveling airports. I'm around a lot of food sometimes. I don't really care.
Now it's kind of gotten pretty prevalent. So you can actually find keto based food.
Yeah, I can, but I still won't eat till one.
Right.
And I don't really care. Like I'm telling you, there's something chemically in my brain that just got switched that said, hey man, whether it's psychosomatic, whether you're feeling good, I don't really care. I know I feel a ton better. And I know that a lot of stock nerds want to feel better too, because based on the letters I get. So if that's you, hit me up. I'll be your support mechanism as part of the stock nerd community.
You actually got a few good recipes.
Yeah. So I'll be more than happy to point you in the right direction. So I was getting towards active community. We're the minority in terms of what we do. You know, like we got a bunch of people that love the markets with their taxable accounts, and then they entrust us with the larger portion of their wealth that they can't lose. And this market is a piddle your chips away kind of market where you're going to chase a strategy that works for a week, and then suddenly it all just kind of falls apart. And I think a really good example of this are the chips this week, right? The chips shook everybody out on Texas Instruments, quote unquote, miss, you know, and then before you know it, Bob's your uncle, the SOXX is back at an all-time high on Friday. And that's so incredibly frustrating. And so
you got to follow the discipline, whatever
it is. You do. And I want to say that because if you're a buy and holder, what you're open to is, in my opinion, dating around and having unprotected intercourse. And so it's just that dangerous. And so a lot of you would never even dream of that, right? Because 2020, 2019, you don't do that. You know, everyone's got something. And so that, but when you buy and hold, you're susceptible to the next, and I'm going to say this, and someone's going to laugh cynically, 20% drawdown. But look, having $1 million saved up, having $500,000 saved up for your retirement is not uncommon these days. And so on $1 million, you take a 20% hit, you're going to notice that. And so, and there's no guarantee that the things that you own are going to get you back to quote unquote whole. And what you're really trying to do is minimize, staunch your losses, right? Maybe instead of a 20% hit, it's just a 10% drawdown. I'm just using round numbers so people can do the math. It's just a 10% drawdown, but you've got that extra capital now. Like, yeah, you took your losses or you took your lumps at 10%, didn't write it down to 20%, and now when the opportunity presents itself, you can get what is making the move now.
Because by moving some to cash or taking defensive measures, you didn't go down 20, you only went down 10.
That's exactly it.
And then once the market starts firming up again, you can get back in at lower prices.
That's exactly it. And this piddle your chips away market, I swear to God, it's doing this to you right now where you're chasing different things. And so this haul got me thinking back to 2018. And it got me thinking about, do you remember the name? Give me one second. I want to pronounce it right. James Cordier. I hope I'm saying that right.
Why does that sound familiar? That's very familiar.
So he's the guy, James Cordier. I believe, if I'm not saying it right, I apologize. He's the Tampa Bay investment office that blew up last year.
Oh, with natural gas. That's right.
And with options, right?
Right.
And then he lost everybody's money.
And he did the video.
He did the hostage video. Yeah. And he lost Jeff Vitnick's. He lost some of Jeff Vitnick's money. By the way, Jeff Vitnick just shut down his hedge fund. He found out it's a little hard to pick stocks. Everyone thinks it's easy. And so I know Jeff Vitnick's story. Please don't write to me. But what's interesting here is what you don't realize when I talk about chasing, what optionsellers.com was doing was selling, if you don't remember, he was selling naked calls and puts. Mm-hmm. I trade options all the time. I do spreads where I'm limiting my downside risk. If I sell a put, I'm buying a put for protection on the other side. So I can't get this, right? Well, Tim, that reduces some of the money you can take in. Yeah, but I'm not gambling here. It's probabilistic trading. It's different. And so this guy straight up was telling people you're selling naked. He wrote books about it. Like he wasn't hiding that he was selling naked. What he was hiding was the true risk of it all. And bad on him. But the people that came to him were chasing outside risk. Like they were not happy with the returns they were making in just buying stocks, getting 30% in the Rokus of the world. They needed more, right? Mm-hmm. And I trade options, I sell options. I don't begrudge. This is not an options like what this an options an anti options strat rant. Don't misunderstand me here. What this is an exotic strategy rant, and you piddling away your chips. I don't know why I said it like that. Chips. I don't even know what language that is. Chips. It's like, what does that sound like? I just mispronounced.
West Texas. I don't know.
Hell if I know. But it came out. I was trying to say chips, and it came out as chips. That's hilarious in my head. I don't know why I said chips like chips. Anyway, what happens is you start chasing returns. This market, based on some of the traffic I've seen in my Twitter stream and maybe some emails and stuff, has led me down this path of thought. And it reminded me of this James Cormier fellow, where you're selling people on a strategy that can promise outsized returns, and nothing works in perpetuity, but no strategy works in perpetuity. But what you can't, What does work in perpetuity is limiting your risk. And so that doesn't mean you don't try different things. What it means is you don't fool yourself in saying, this is a safe way. Like if you need, you know, it's not the market's fault. It's not anyone else's fault. This is where accountability comes in. Like if you're telling yourself you need 30% a year for the next 10 years to make up for whatever mistakes you've made personally in your life, or unfortunately, if divorces hit you, like it hits 50% of Americans, myself and Daniel included, if it hit, am I okay to say that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, just, I want people to know I'm speaking from a very clear point of reality. Okay. Like I've got a lot of accountability in this regard. You trying to make 30% a year and finding ways to do that. Some of you are going to do that because you're really good at what you do. And I applaud you for that. And I'm not being facetious one bit. The vast majority of you are not good at this investing thing, because our brains aren't wired the proper way to handle risk or understand the counterintuitive nature of markets, such as a high put-call ratio is bullish, whereas a neutral to low put-call ratio is bearish. Just that kind of basic happenstance. And so when you tell yourself you need 25, 30% a year for the next 10 years just to get back to some kind of even so you can have a retirement, because you don't want to be driving Uber when you're 70, that's when you start running into trouble. And there's going to be markets that give you, they just give it to you. They give you 30%, Daniel. They give you 30%, and they're clear. And it feels like when you bite into an apple and that apple feels good. Like it's crisp. It's not mushy. It's not soft. And it feels good. Like you just know.
That's and it's keto approved.
And it's keto. Well, apples are not. But, but it feels good. And that's not this market. But I feel like right now we're in susceptibility season. And susceptibility season is the last 13 months have really gone nowhere in totality. And that leads people to kind of panic because... not panic, but mentally start doing the calculations.
Get antsy, yeah.
Yeah, you get antsy because it's been 2 months of chop. Like right now, it's been 2 months of chop, 3 months of chop, the third quarter plus another month. So you've been 4 months of chop. Some of you can't, some of you are so internet deranged right now. And hear me on this. Our attention spans are so short that a week is a lifetime. And now the market's been doing nothing for 4 months and you lack all perspective. And so that opens you up to say, if you're still listening to my message and haven't given me the double middle fingers, thank you. You're willing to understand that maybe your perception is a little narrow right now. Take a step back. You gave back all the third quarter's gains in 4 days. That's all it took. You don't think that that's going to happen again. Like the market right now is kind of like it. Imagine your car wheezing to the auto repair shop as you lurch it forward one last time, just trying to get another 75 feet out of your automatic transmission. You know, that's what it feels like right here. And I could be wrong about this, but it goes back to something I said earlier. You have to be willing to say that you're wrong. It's egoless. You're nimble. Just because you think the market's going to go lower and it doesn't do that, doesn't make you stupid. It doesn't make you a bad trader. It just means that you had a thesis and it didn't come to bear where it hurts you, and where maybe you wanna buckle down a little bit is say, I'm holding true to that. I'm not willing to get some bullish positions to kind of offset this thesis. You know, you don't beat yourself up for that. You roll with the markets here. And look, I have told you, and you've heard me, I'll use me as an example. It's always easier to use me. I'm just waiting for the next China shoe to drop. You don't think the people in the White House, Kudlow, the Mnuchin, the Trumpster, you don't think they know that that's the glue holding this whole thing together, that they gave a pass to Apple so Apple can make the product they ship the least amount of, their MacBook Pros, in Texas? You know, and those numbers that Apple gives out this coming week, I'm telling you, if they, if the market
disappoints,
well, hold on. If the market likes it,
yeah,
you're going to see everything rip higher, and you better get long, okay? But if the market takes it as a wait a minute, we were under the impression you were selling a hell of a lot more iPhone 11s than this. This market is going to just probably take a step back. And you want to be really aware of that. You want to have a little self-awareness here about where we are in time and space and where the market is. And you want to just have some patience. And I'm telling you, the longer this thing grinds it out, the worse it's going. Like the for those who can't do this, it gets worse. And look, nobody is born with that skill. You have to have active discussions with people. And when you, and so going back to, hey, we're a community, stock nerds and market lovers. There's most of you work in places, or you're in home offices in places, or you have spouses in places that they don't care that the market hasn't done anything in 4 months. I'm sorry, market. No, I don't need anything, dear. We got everything last week.
I already went shot, grocery shot.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And so wear that respite for you. And I made fun of the Tesla shorts getting, squeezed to the billion, tune of billions this week. Yeah, stay away from those people too. You might like we live in such a judgmental society. And look, I don't agree with the way Elon Musk was running Tesla before. Like with the Twitter and the nonsense, like that's not for me. But let me tell you something, he's found religion. Mm-hmm. He's got the right people speaking for him, mm-hmm. and it showed up this quarter.
Yeah,
and so you can make fun of him all you want. You can tell me that their cars catch
on. Not okay to stay to be wrong. And that one Tesla short guy that you were talking about that always tweets and has a newsletter or whatever, he doubled down.
Let him.
He wants to. He want even more.
The worst is when everyone should take. You know, the worst is when everyone's riding that train of just bashing another human being. Like the group think takes over, and then it goes wrong. And like I'm doubling down, and it's like, dude, just do the right thing here, because there's people that aren't thinking for themselves in the moment. Because, you know, like my words have power. Danny's words have power. Don's words have power. We're talking to you, stock nerds. You're listening to us doing some activity and absorbing what we're saying. For us to not come, for me, I would never do this show I would never speak to you if I wasn't able to tell you the truth, like what's in my heart as the truth. Doesn't mean I'm always right. It just means I'm willing to tell you I'm not always right. And I tell you to learn. And we teach you how to think for yourself a little bit. You know, like we can't come in there and do it for you, but we're trying to go, hey, this is what we're seeing. Why the hell do you think we do these lunch and learns with Don every other week? Get more into our psyche.
And that thing's growing.
Yeah, get more into the way we do business here, because it's fact-based. It's not innuendo. It's not Twitter-based. It's not, you know, spreading nonsense on Twitter, which is like pissing into the wind, thinking you're actually going to make a difference. Just ridiculous. So... Well, it is.
Right, I know. By the way, you were talking about Apple being key to the market.
Yeah.
The other big thing that could affect the market significantly is the Fed.
Well, they are meeting.
Things,
yeah.
Yeah. Those two things are the key.
Thank you for
variables.
Saying can we talk about that for a second?
Sure.
And then I want to talk about something that no one else is talking
and
about.
And folks, that wasn't actually rehearsed, or that wasn't a slow pitch to Tim. Mm.
So, wow, I just read this headline: Vitnik's comeback collapses. Interesting. That's the headline.
That's the guy you were talking about.
Yeah, I'm like, I just noticed that
headline. You flipped the paper over. Oh,
yeah.
There he is.
You know what? So I want to come back to the Fed, but I got a good question on Twitter from a friend who said, Tim, what do you, like, he saw me tweet out a picture of something, and in the background was the Investor's Business Daily. He said, other than IBD, what do you use for your research? And so I'm telling you right now, Stockners, there's no better source for the right now actionable information that is Investor's Business Daily. And I say that because I know it so well that it's fact-based, it's actionable. You just have to be able to discern
what... But you got to know how to use it,
too. You got to know how to use it. Like, that's the big...
Some of it is a little marketing, so you got to know where to get the best nuggets.
That was my...
Nuggets.
That was how I made a career there. I knew how to use it. And so... And I could teach people that pretty, making things simple is my forte. It's not making them complicated and getting on some kind of high horse or soapbox. And so I could do that there. But for, but he said, what else do you read? And I had to think about it because I love reading newspapers. I still read newspapers to this day. I've always loved that. I read the journal. I get the journal every
day.
You're
like grandpa. I mean, folks, he's talking about physical newspapers, the actual wood chips flaked together and grow a physical paper.
I get the journal. I get the Times, New York Times. And then digitally, I'll read the FT.
Financial Times.
Yep. And I'll read the Sunday. It's not every day that I'm in it's the Times of London or the Sunday Times of London, but I'm in the Sunday Times, and I'm using the last three papers there for macro. Mm-hmm. And so like micro would be all IBD stuff, right? Like charts are micro, Apple's micro, but like
saying US centric here, markets specifically.
Yeah.
The macro, you're talking about kind of global.
Globally, news, what's shaping some of my longer term thoughts. Right. It's all newspaper based. No, it's chart based and what I'm seeing, but then I'm tying it to what I'm reading. But that's my process. It's real. I don't think it's anything that special, but it leads me to things like this that you on the other end of this microphone are going to be left holding the bag. And so, Danny, God, there's so much I wanted to get to today.
I actually meant to bring I had a listener email me a couple questions, a question, and it was really good, and I'll do it next show.
Okay.
I forgot to bring it in here.
Oh, okay. So Oddlot Trades grabbed the bigger share. This was in, if you ever want my research, just email me, Stockners. I'm more than happy to give it to you. So I'm gonna just cover this real quick because I think, so we got asked a number of times by stock nerds, hey, what are the ramifications of all this free trade, the commission-free trades? Mm-hmm. And for me, I love testing things. Mm-hmm. Like I'm testing things all the time in the market, stock nerds. And so like I don't even know how to explain, like just different stocks at different volume levels, high quality stocks. What happens if you just keep pinging 100 in there? What does that do to the market makers? Because it's all computer based. Like how does it trigger the algorithm? I'm doing different kinds of strategies just to see on my own how the market, how stocks react on certain days to certain things. And I love it. And now that they've made the trades free, boy, that saves me. You know, saves me tremendously. But I think really like everything that we've talked about with Stock Nerds one-on-one, when they email or call or tweet about it, has been just wondering, like, this is what we think. We don't really know. I think this article is the result, Daniel, of the talk of free trades and reduced commissions. Okay. So Oddlot Trades, here's the headline. Oddlot Trades grab bigger share. Nearly half of all trades in the U.S. stock market and are in odd lots, which fewer than 100 shares is an odd lot. That is the highest level ever recorded. So nearly half, right now, Daniel, in 2019, nearly half of all the trades in the United States are odd lots. That's a big deal, stock nerds, because you'll hear me say, and Danny and Don will say it, the most important participants are the institutional players in the market. They control the market. They have the most money. They're not trading less than 100 shares. They're doing blocks.
Well, they're doing round lots, which are increments of 100.
Right. So it could be 1,000, it could be 10,000.
20,000, yeah. 120, a million.
They're not doing 79.
Or 153.
Yeah. And so right now, in this week, this very week, is the highest that this odd lot number has been in the history of recording.
Well, that makes sense, though.
Yeah, it does to me.
Perfect,
yeah. That is the high. Well, hold on. The author of this, Alexander, whose name I'll butcher, so I won't try to say because it'll sound like a swear word.
Now I want to hear it. no, that's okay.
It doesn't. Ospiech. Yeah, he doesn't really get to there. To like, he gives you every other reason it could be. He doesn't really get to the. Don't you know it's free now? Hey, why? Like, imagine if pizza was free. Don't you think pizza consumption would go up? You know, and so what you used to pay for, so now, anyway. So the highest level ever recorded and roughly double, it's Daniel, it's double, oh, that's why we can't have nice things, Stockners. I just spilled my coffee.
You want me to stall for a minute?
No, we're going to continue on here. This'll dry.
Just put that worthless paper on there. There you go.
There we go. Okay.
Soak it up. Look, that makes perfect sense because people that couldn't, you know, if you're going to buy $600 worth or $800 worth at $495 a trade, that coming and going, that can add up to 1.5, 2%. Once it's free, well, now you can buy $600 worth. It doesn't matter.
Somebody on the other end of this microphone was going, are you really saying that $495 trades were stopping people? No. What Daniel's saying is really important. But then I think this... I think that's a minority. I actually think the psychology of it's free, who cares, is taken over more.
Well, that may be true too. But remember, money managers also manage these people's money. So like for us, we know that you got to have a certain position size to manage risk. So when we do block trades at the master level and then we allocate across all these clients' accounts, we wouldn't take a $800 or $1,000 position if it wasn't over, you know, we want 5%. We want round.
You got to make the vig.
You got to cover the cost. Trading cost can't be too much of a percentage. So those trades are in there.
As well. Yeah, but I think really it's kind of like how many of you eat bad food because it's free? Like you don't even like it. You're just like, well, it was free, so I ate it.
Costco samples.
Right.
You just go through the line.
Right. And so I think a lot of it is this is the bad food, it's free theory right here. And so the shift to smaller trades is being driven by a growing number of expensive stocks like Amazon. He gives every reason here. With stocks close to records, the surge of tiny trades hasn't received much attention. Well, I do appreciate him bringing this actually to our attention. But some investor advocates say mom-and-pop investors should take heed because the regulations that govern U.S. stock trading were written in an era dominated by round-lot trades and multiples of under shares.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, such outdated rules let brokers make it look as though investors are getting a better deal on trades than say they really are. So anyway, the share of trades in odd lots hit a record 48.9% on October 7th and stayed above 40% ever since, according to NYSE data, New York Stock Exchange data, to cover all U.S. equity trades, not just those on the big board. So this is a really big deal. Market veterans cite lofty share prices. See, market veterans are giving you every reason here. It's lofty share prices, but listen, it's bad food theory, but I ate it anyway because it was free. I could have paid for good food, but I ate bad food because it was free. And so many companies boast. So look, and what I believe, my point is to one, point out that even though as a minority, that the people that invest in, like, I want you to hear this, Doc. There's a lot of you don't get this, that half of America doesn't invest. Like, it's a really big deal that half of Americans don't have some sort of 401k IRA investment vehicle. If you do, you're fortunate because half of your fellow citizens don't have the luxury of having that. It's a big deal. And so, but of that 52% that are invested in equities, whether it's passive, I mean, whether it's through work or through your own accord, like 0.1% are actually participating actively. Like it's a really small number. And so for a record number of odd lot shares means I think, and this is my line of thinking, Daniel, I think that free commissions has stirred a 1999-esque renaissance in markets. Okay. It might be like the old E-Trade commercial. He's got money.
And the animal spirits.
I'm saying like, remember the E-Trade commercial from the Super Bowl where in 1999 or 2000, he's got money coming out the wazoo. He's got money coming out the wazoo. Like that was the E-Trade commercial. And part of me thinks that because, Robinhood, it was really Tasty Trade. I believe it's Tasty Trade. Tasty Work. It's Tasty Trade, Tom Sosnoff's outfit. And Robinhood that really got this ball rolling with the free no commission trades. And I believe that now you've got more active individual participants. And it's one of the reasons I think that the market hasn't pulled back significantly in 2019. You could say it's the consumer, you could say it's the data. I say to make a stock go up. Now listen to me, stock nerds. To make a stock go up in price, when the auctioneer, it's still an auction, right? Still a price auction.
Buyers and sellers.
So to make a stock go higher, when the auctioneer says, I got 100, I got X, I got 105, if there's a hand that goes up and says, I'll take it, price goes up. Mm-hmm. What makes a stock go down, sans any kind of news-related event or or a downgrade is when the auctioneer raises his hand and says, I got 100 and no hands go up. And then he goes, I got 95 and no hands go up. I got 90 and no hands go up. And then before you know it, you got a stock at 85. It's an auction. And if not enough hands go up to move some of these big, large mega cap stocks like the Apples, you know, like the Microsofts, it just takes those hands being sat on. And right now, that data tells me, the one that didn't get coffee spilled on it, that that data tells me that, oh, wow, 50% of the trades are odd lots. That's small people. It's not smart money and dumb money. Don't read into my words. It's money. And the hands keep going up. This market can continue. If that trend continues, this market, in my estimation, can continue to move higher. But it goes back to a central theme that I've said in 2019. There's two things that'll stop this. Okay? The moment the consumer starts losing confidence, you'll stop seeing the hands at the auction going up and you'll start seeing pulling back. It's not an all right in proposition. It takes time. That's why when people say topping, market topping is a process, half the people don't even understand what the hell they're saying because they just heard it before. This is the process. So what looked like, hey, why didn't the market really fully pull back at the end of September, beginning of October? I think what you just heard me read is the reason. You could say it's tariffs. You could say, from what I've seen price-wise, there's only so much news. There's only so much that the tariff news, or lack thereof, is doing to the markets. It's doing much more damage to the downside than it is doing good to the upside right now. You're still trading in this big price range, and the big move hasn't happened yet. But you have to be open, stock nerds, that big move could actually be to the upside, not simply to the downside.
Well, I can tell you very quickly, my son who just graduated, thank God a year early, but my son who just graduated, he called me and asked me about this because he's got a little account. He's trying to learn, he wants to learn stocks. He's kind of getting into it. And so he's got this little small account.
Yeah.
And because the trades became free, he started becoming a little more active.
Yeah. And I think that's,
because he's already figured out the math. Very good math.
Have you, and some of you are out there and you're in disbelief of my words. And let me just tell you, if you don't know, just pull up your quote machine and place a trade and watch your price become the bid.
Right.
Like you'll become the market. Like when you want to sell something or you want to buy something, sometimes, like if you're not using a limit order, you become the market. Mm-hmm. It takes one person to set price. Doesn't mean price holds there,
right?
But it takes one person to set price. And so what you think is
the
over...
The most recent trade is price.
Yes. And so what you think is overvalued or you don't believe this economy, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. What matters is that the auction house is opened.
And what is price?
And what is price? And what is somebody willing to pay for it? And right now, there are a tremendous amount of small traders in here keeping prices, I believe, right now, elevated.
Well, that would also dovetail with the low volume.
Yeah.
That would.
Yeah, it's been tremendously low volume. Like Danny and I were marveling at, just to give you some micro here, when we're watching the market on Friday, market is just edging towards new highs right before we're taping, but there hasn't been a tick above 600, which is just noise. Everything between negative 600 and plus.
Inflation in China, having a... first date on the tariff news, market popped where the Dow was up, 200 points, 190. Yeah. NASDAQ popped. You had a big gap up in just a couple minutes, but there was no volume.
Yeah.
That is even more.
And so it's interesting to see, it'll be interesting to see how this evolves, but I'm telling you, stock nerds, keep an open mind. So I've got one last thing. Wrap up the show for me, and I got one last thing to close with.
All right, folks. Well, listen, if you like what you heard, please tell a friend, tell a neighbor. They can just go to revereasset.com. They can sign up for our daily short market insight. Don and Tim alternate days doing a little short 5-10 minute video newsletter, if you will, giving what we're seeing right now in real time. They'll also get this podcast in the weekend when it's done. I promise you we won't spam them or reach out to them anyway. It's up to them to reach out to us. And by the way, don't forget to sign up for Don's daily, or I'm sorry, every other Wednesday, he does a lunch and learn at 11 noon Eastern, 11 Central time, and it's live during market hours. You can put in a ticker there. Just email don@revereasset.com, and he'll send you the link right before. We just did it this past week, so it won't be this coming Wednesday, but the following Wednesday.
If you want Don's class and you missed it, just email him, don@revereasset. Yeah, he'll send it to you.
Yeah, he'll give you.
It's really good.
Yeah, it is. It is good. If you want to follow us on Twitter, mine is @1DannyStewart, E-W-A-R-T, @TJReazor, @DVandenBoard. And you can also call us old school at 855-REAL-WEALTH.
So here's the thing. Amazon's comeback on Friday. From 1818 to just under the 21 exponential.
Comeback sold off.
Yeah, sold off and then came back higher.
Oh, okay.
It's not. I'm not buying until you get a couple closes above the 21. Mm-hmm. So that it's gotten rejected at the 21. So it'll be interesting to see how the market handles that the next couple of days on Amazon. And then gold here. You'll see me covered in the video if you watch the video over the weekend. I like gold here. I like gold above 1505, 1506 can make that move potentially back up to 1520 and then maybe 1536. But we'll do more with gold in the video. But I do like it right here.
We'll talk to you next week on Your Money.